Today, I'm happy to say that we have a guest preacher. Pastor Greg is actually preaching over at Remembrance Church today, and Eric Cook, the lead pastor at Remembrance Church, will be joining us. And what kind of what's around this pulpit swap is we are intending in the next 6 or 8 months or so to plant a church in Walker. And we know that when we plant a church, there are other churches in that community that may want to come alongside and support that. And we are just really, really pleased that Remembrance Church wants to come alongside and serve in a supportive role as we plant the Walker Church. And so to honor that kind of connection that we have with them, Pastor Greg is at Remembrance today, and Eric Cook will be sharing our message with us this morning. So come on up here, Eric, and we look forward to what God is going to say through you. Let's show a word of welcome.
How about the weather? Have you not enjoyed the weather so much?
I love it hot.
Don't you love when the pastor goes away? Pastor goes away, you don't know who steps into the pulpit. But don't worry, I'm just symbolic, right? I mean, I'm not real. Most people believe I'm just symbolic, and I'm okay with that. I really am. I'm okay if you don't think I'm real. Can I share some scripture with you? Matthew 5:48. You see, you've been talking about this all things new, this gospel good news. Well, Matthew 5:4-8 says this, that you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Christian, do I have your attention, men, women, children? You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can I ask you, how's that working for you today? Is anyone in this room perfect? I doubt it. See, let me tell you the truth. The Christian life really is not so easy, is it? And I assume that some of you aren't so perfect and it's not going so well. The Christian life is awful hard and you have a lot of guilt because you can't keep that standard. Let's see. Church. Isn't church boring? I mean, really? Can I get an amen on that? Young people. How many young people here? Matter of fact, take a moment to look around and see who's not here this morning. What do you think they're doing? And here you sit. Everything is relative, right? There are no absolutes. Everything's relative. Let me tell you, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Let's just all get along. I'm okay. And I just want you to know this morning that you're okay. Amen, amen, and amen. How about that for an introduction? So I'm going to begin. Go to Pastor Greg, email, and begin. Dear Pastor Greg, never invite Pastor Eric back again. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you about Pastor Greg. I don't know if he's a friend yet. He's certainly a colleague. We've gone to a conference together. I've gotten to know Greg, love his passion, but here's how this all played out is Greg is at Remembrance this morning where he served as a pastor for over 10 years. So it's like a happy reunion over there. And so I tell Greg, you know, we're doing this positive summer series on flannel graph stories and you just pick a Bible character. And so he's preaching on Elisha. It's too late for you to go over there. Some of you are already thinking, I wish I would have gone over there. But he's preaching on Elisha, the double portion. And so this morning, probably right now, he is pouring out a blessing. He is pouring out a blessing, a positive message on my congregation. And here's what he asked me to preach on. Here's what he asked me to preach on. I often choose evil, but I'm not evil. And so you guys are in this series on the gospel. Guess who gets to come back and preach the good news of the gospel? Right? And so he says to me, he says, Eric, we're right in the middle of this series, and so I need you to tell my congregation that they're sinners and that they're evil. I'm just saying. And then, who preached last Sunday? Anyone here last Sunday? Tony Campbell, right? Greg looks at me and goes, stinks to be you. So I'm just saying, I don't think he's a friend. I think he's a colleague, but I don't think he's a friend. We need to work on that a little bit. Because what friend would do that? Would a friend really do that? But here we are this morning, so the time I have, I want you to know. I've been at Remembrance for 7 years, most of my ministry in the Chicago area. Love West Michigan, love the summers. Don't necessarily love the rain, but love West Michigan. And we're excited about our relationship with Fairhaven. In some ways, my relationship with not only Greg, but the other pastors and staff kind of has been a motivation for us, you know, to make disciples, to reach lost people, and to multiply. And so, again, it really is a joy to be with you this morning. I love Jesus. Jesus changed my life back when I was in college. Did not grow up in the church per se, but had a radical life change as a basketball coach shared the gospel with me, the good news. But my task this morning is to tell you about this brokenness that's in us. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at some various passages. They'll come up on the screen as well. We're going to begin with Jesus here in the desert. Just the context, he's been baptized. He comes out of the water, John the Baptist there, and then from heaven, this is my son. And God acknowledging that he is incarnate here on earth. But right after his baptism, Jesus has a conversation or a confrontation with the devil. And we see this in Mark 1, where it says, at once the Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. I just want to review these temptations. Those that have grown up in the church, you recognize this. Those that are maybe visiting or exploring the Christian faith this morning, I want you to know as we look at these temptations, every one of these temptations that Jesus had is still very real today. The first temptation we see is that Jesus was starving. He had been not eating for 40 days, and so he's certainly hungry. And so Satan tempts him for this self-gratification that you can turn this stone into bread. Just take care of yourself, Jesus. And so in all of these temptations, always it's about not trusting our Heavenly Father, which is still the issue today. Will you trust God to provide? Is he a good, good Father? And will he provide for your needs? And so in this temptation, Satan is basically saying, don't trust your father. He's not going to provide the bread, the food for you. You're starving. Turn this stone into bread. Take care of yourself. Be self-sufficient. The second temptation we see is that Satan takes him and he's on the high top of the temple. And so in this temptation, it's the temptation we call of self-protection. Again, the belief that, you know what, Jesus, you throw yourself off of this and then test God, force God, your Heavenly Father, to come and rescue you before you splat on the ground. This temptation is you can't really trust God to protect you, can you? You have to take care of yourself, protect yourself at all cost. Don't trust your Heavenly Father. He's not so good. And then the third temptation we see is self-exaltation. And then this temptation, again, Satan takes him on this high mountaintop and he gives him a vision, all that could be his. And in essence saying, why should you be the servant, Jesus, when you can be the king of your life and all this is yours? So each of these temptations, Jesus, perfect in all of his ways, responds back to Satan using the truth of God's word, the scriptures that he knew growing up even as a little boy, for this very moment of his confrontation with Satan. But for everyone in this room today, I'm telling you, Everyone in this room today will struggle with these temptations. There are some of you who want to be self-sufficient, who want to protect yourselves, who want to really be your own God. If we're being honest, you love to be in control of your life. You love to be that independent man. I got this. And it's the same temptation. Always coming down to this bottom line is that I don't trust you, God. I really don't trust that you're going to protect me in this one. God, I really don't trust you that you're going to provide for all of my needs. This is a hard situation. God, I really want to be the boss of my own life. And so we see these temptations in this gospel message that there is a spiritual world. I just want to remind you, if you are a believer here this morning, there is a spiritual realm. I don't think we talk about it enough. And so just because the message presents itself, let me just remind you that there is a spiritual world that is invisible to us, but it's very real. Just as the storm that we felt this morning was very real, this spiritual realm is very real. And there's this conflict that goes on historically, beginning in Genesis 3, where again we had another confrontation with the devil and Adam and Eve, right? And Adam and Eve, and here's the temptation. Take care of yourselves. Don't trust God. Eat of the apple. You are in control. You exalt yourself. And all through the scriptures, we see historically this world of evil and this world of kingdom God. We know how it works out. This message will hold you in the tension. Greg did give me permission to end with Jesus. He'll come back and tell you the rest of it. But this thing of the spiritual realm, let me remind you that 1 Peter says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's the reality for the believer. There's a warfare going on. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They're not bombs and grenades and bullets. Brothers and sisters, those that are walking with Jesus, I hope you're getting this. It says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. These strongholds in our lives of those in this room who have doubt and unbelief, worry, fear, who have addictions. These strongholds that you know even in this moment grab you. And so I will bring you to that tension, and then I will make sure you leave understanding that there is an answer to those strongholds in our lives. And it's not about us figuring out. It really is divine. It really does change our lives. And so I know, even in this room, even though I'm the stranger here, I know that in this time that we have together, that God can transform a life. That God can take you and whatever that stronghold is this morning that you've been holding on in darkness. And maybe even your spouse doesn't know. And set you free. And what a joy that would be, because that's what God does. All things new. Well, let's talk about others just for a moment. I spent 3 years in seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, Reformed Theological. In those 3 years, I served as a chaplain in the state penitentiary there. And it's incredible what people can do to each other. And I would go visit the men and women in the penitentiary, some on life row, death row, I mean, there is no life, and on death row, and then I would go back to the office and I would read their rap sheet and read about what they did. Served as a chaplain at Cook County Jail in Chicago, then a really small prison, but man, it was like a dungeon in Butler, Pennsylvania, as a county chaplain. And so I, when I was writing this message, I thought this would be good. I mean, the young people would love if I just paused here and told a couple stories of what these men and women had done to end up in prison. It really is evil. We think even for a moment, if we think about the evil out there, I only need to say Orlando, Dallas, Louisiana, Nice, Paris. And so I thought, you know what? I don't need to convince this audience about evil out there, right? I mean, we see it and we grieve it, and it certainly gives some anxiety when we think about how evil the world is around us. And when we think about what people do to each other is incredibly evil. I'm not going to go that way. You might have liked it better, but I'm going to take the remaining time here and turn it and talk about the evil that's in here. Well, that's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Only a guest pastor can pull this off. I mean, it's one thing to talk about out there, but what about the evil? And I didn't write the title here, folks. I didn't write the title that I often choose evil. That was your pastor's, right? I often, that was their choice, not my choice. I often choose evil. I want to give you the catechism here. The catechism is part of our Reformed tradition, helps us learn what we believe, all right? So here's part of this corruption. Here's the question in the catechism. Are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? All right, look at that. And kids, so you know, this is how you can learn as well. Are we so corrupt that we are totally unable? Tracking with me? Maybe I messed up this question a little bit. We're totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil. What do you think the answer to that one is? Think about it. How would you answer that question? What do you think the answer is in our tradition? Well, let me give you the short answer. Yes. That might be shocking to some of you. Remember, I'm okay, you're okay. We're not that bad. We're nice people. We're nice Christian people. And yet, somehow, it says, maybe not so nice. I often choose evil. Is that you this morning? Because again, there are those moments in my life when I lie in bed, or I have those moments where I feel kind of guilty and ashamed, and I think, you know what, honestly, if you knew some of the stuff, you wouldn't want me to be here. But the truth is, if I knew your stuff, I wouldn't want to preach to you. Because the truth is, we often choose evil. There is this brokenness in us, left to ourselves, right? Left to myself. I can go down some bad paths. Some bad attitudes, some bad thoughts, some bad actions, some bad evil. So easy. And so what's the Bible say about this? I want to give you a secondary passage here in Romans 7. It's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, again, he has written much of the Bible. And so in this is, I believe, his testimony. Now, before I read the verses, some people will say, well, this was for unbelievers, or it was for the backslidden carnal Christian. But I believe that these verses that I'm going to read really were a testimony of Paul. And it was really Paul saying, this is actually what the Christian life looks like. So let's not walk around saying, I'm okay, you're okay, happy, happy, happy. There is something that is raging in us that we oftentimes choose evil, and we can hurt others so easily. And so this is what the Apostle Paul says. Oh, wait, I missed a slide. Church membership. This is how you join Remembrance Church. I don't know what you do here, but we bring our people up, right? This is how this, you say, right now you're thinking, I am glad I'm not at Remembrance Church. We bring our new members up, we line them up, and we line them up, and here's what we ask them. Do you acknowledge that you are a sinner, sinful by nature? In front of everyone. Because that's one of the requirements. Isn't that crazy, the Christian faith? One of the requirements for membership is what? To say, I'm a sinner. That's one of the requirements. You want to be a part of the church? Then you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Because you can't come in unless you're a sinner. Because you know what? The preacher's a sinner. The deacon's a sinner. The elder's a sinner. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. So we line them up. Hold that. It's not the whole story. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. Paul says, catch the eyes, his testimony. Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For I want to do, for what I want to do, I do not do. For what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And I'm just saying, as a pastor, that has been my experience in how I counsel, whether as a prison chaplain or as a pastor in my congregation, that has been my experience. People wrestle with this sin nature. This, I often choose evil. And so this morning, as you think about this just for a moment, when was the last time you said something that wasn't true? When was the last time you got angry? When was the last time you took something that wasn't yours? When was the last time you were really bitter towards someone? The last time you were unforgiving? The last time you were selfish? When was the last time that pride led your life and you were arrogant? When was the last time you were judging others? When was the last time you were critical of other people? When was the last time that you disrespected someone? When was the last time you lusted? When was the last time that you used profanity? When was the last time that you were choosing to live by the world values and the pleasures rather than knowing and doing what God really would want you to do? Why is there abuse in our world? Why is there brokenness all around us? And I'll give you the simple answer. For all of that, it's because of the evil that is in us. All right, catch your breath. Let's look at the good news here, and then I'll let you go. Because I can't leave you there, right? That would just be cruel. It's not the whole story. And part of me wants to apologize for keeping you in the tension. But you got to be in the tension. Because if you really don't understand the evil in you, you won't really grasp the good news. I can tell you, when I became a follower of Jesus, I knew the evil in me, those that I had hurt, the abuse that I was doing in my own life, in alcohol and drugs. And that's what made the good news so powerful. It was truly life-changing. God's not looking for nice people who want to just come and get it together. He's looking for broken, sinful people who acknowledge that oftentimes I choose evil and I desperately need God to change me. And so here's the rest of the answer back to the Heidelberg. Is that, but I'm not evil. I oftentimes choose evil, but I am not evil. And let me tell you why. Because this answer, are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes. Unless, and that is a huge unless, right? And you're saying, thank you for getting there. Thank you for getting there. Because the whole story is, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. And so let's look at Jesus back to the desert. And here's this thing. When you talk about strongholds in your life, do you want to live a vibrant, victorious Christian life? Then here's a simple principle. Jesus modeled it, this life change that he offers to us. But in Matthew 4, this whole thing, these are the other passages dealing with the whole temptation of Jesus. It says that then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. And so I want you to know, when Jesus went into the desert to be tempted before the 40 days, do you see how he went in? He went in what? In the Spirit. Got it? 40 days later, after the temptation, after all three temptations, after his confrontation with the evil devil, it says this in Luke. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Can I just tell you? Nothing ever changes by trying harder, trying to be a better person, a better dad, a better mom. The only thing I have ever seen in my years of ministry, and I have seen men and women in the penitentiary, in the jails, with incredible rap sheets of evil and abuse, who have been totally transformed when the Holy Spirit, born again, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in them. It makes all the difference in the world as to what God has done. And so this all things new is that our eyes aren't on, you fix your eyes not on what is seen, but fix your eyes on what is invisible. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Ephesians 2 says this, as for you, and again, can I just put your name there for a moment. As for you, Eric. As for you, Tom. As for you, Betty. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, pretty hopeless, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And then he goes on and he finishes in these next two verses. But because of the great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace you have been saved. And so the man you see up here this morning, I've been changed by what God has done in my life, transformed. It has nothing to do with me trying harder. And that is the good news. And I appreciate Greg at least giving me opportunity. He's going to talk more about this good news. But as we leave here this morning, I'm going to invite Trent to come up with the team. And as we leave here this morning, I'll just give you a little bit of space, because I don't know how the Holy Spirit in any moment works in a room. But I do want to just give you opportunity just to be honest with God. Some of you this morning know the sin in you, and you know the guilt and the shame. And if I could put the devil's horns on, I will. I'll put them on one last time just for the kids. She'd love me to put these on. Because in these moments, whenever God's Spirit works, here's what the devil would say this morning. Whatever God wants to do to you this morning, whatever change he wants to do in your life, do not obey. Do not listen to the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit's saying to you this morning as a man, whatever God wants to do to change your life, don't do it today. You can do it tomorrow. Just put it off. Come on. No one really cares. It's not that big a deal. It's just a little sin habit. It's just a little white lie. Matter of fact, when you hear this last song, you may want to just sneak out. I give you permission. Just get out there. Go. You see, that's how the devil lies. And some of you have been sitting in church a long time. Bible uses the word repent. That's a church word. Means do a 180. You're going this way with your life and you don't trust God. You want to provide for yourself. You want to be self-sufficient. You want to be your own God. You can keep right on going. But the truth is, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not walking with God. You're not in the Spirit. Your life is a mess. And repentance simply means to turn back and listen and obey God. We call that confession. So I'm not your pastor, but the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is the great shepherd. And so I'm going to share a psalm with you, and then I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'll pray. Let's just see what God wants to say to you this morning. And then you decide. You decide. Will you listen and obey? Because whatever God says to you this morning about whatever it is that He wants to change, that one step, that one thing that you know that He wants to deal with and change in your life, will you be honest with Him? See, that's what David gives us. Psalm 51 is just a beautiful confession of David. And he's just being honest. That's all I'm asking. Be honest with God. And here's what David says. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know the transgressions of my sin, and it's always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Come out of the dark. How many of you are hiding this morning? You're hiding and you think you're getting away with it, but God knows. And I'm telling you, the freedom is to come out of the dark. And just be honest with God. And say, God, here I am. So that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bring my brothers and sisters to you. Those that know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit even now would convict us where we need to be convicted. And so if you're here this morning, I'm speaking to the believers this morning, in this moment. What is it? What is that one thing that you need to lay down and be honest with God about? Are you bitter? Is there unforgiveness? Are you selfish? Is there pride? Is there strife and contention? Are you angry? For some of you, will you lay down that critical spirit? Everyone sees it in you. And the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, you are a critical person. Will you lay it down? For those of you that are full of fear and worry, will you trust God in this moment? For those of you who know the lust of the eyes, and you know even last night, maybe even this morning, your eyes were looking at things that they shouldn't have been. It's in this moment that God loves you so much. You just need to be honest and say, God, here I am, that sinner, that evil part of me. I can't change it. I can't fix it. Holy Spirit, speak. Move in our midst. Have mercy, Father. Change a life today. Change a life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you that we can come to the cross and be reminded that we're more than sinners, that there's more than evil in us. But by being born again, we can know Jesus and we can be perfect in the eyes of our Father. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for cleansing us and purifying us. Holy Spirit, continue to speak into us as we look to you. Take away the guilt and the shame. Give us the freedom to live in the grace of who we are as children of God. And we thank you for that good news. In Jesus' name, amen.